take our Bible tonight and open with me, if you will, to Revelation, the book of Revelation. And we're going to look at the last book of the Bible here, being the last service. And we'll look at Revelation chapter 21, almost the last book of the Bible. But Revelation chapter number 21 in your Bible tonight. Revelation 21. And we're going to read verse number 8, Revelation 21:8. The Bible says, "But the fearful, the unbelieving, abominable, murderers, whoremongers, and sorcerers, and idolaters, and all liars, shall have their part in the lake which burned with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." All right, let's look to the Lord in word of prayer, shall we? Father, thank you for every opportunity to open the Bible. We pray that you will speak to our hearts from your word tonight. You know the needs, and Lord, save that soul that's here without Jesus Christ. I pray, Father, that you will stir the heart of every Christian, and Lord, that the Holy Spirit will have His way in this service tonight. We just ask you to open the windows of heaven, pour out a blessing. Help someone to see their need of the Lord, and that they might come and get that taken care of tonight. And know they're going to heaven and not to hell. And Father, we'll give you the praise for it all in Jesus' name and for His sake. Amen. You know, as you look around tonight, folks, as you look around America, there's one thing very obvious, that this country is collapsing morally. It is just going downhill morally. And you say, well, Brother Gilmore, why do you think that's so? Well, I believe there are a number of things that contribute to it. Of course, when you think of the fact that we've taken prayer, Bible reading out of our schools, our public schools, certainly that would contribute to the moral collapse of our country. You know, there used to be a time when every class was opened with prayer, and there was a reading of the Word of God. And now we've kicked the Bible, we kicked prayer out of the schools, and we've kicked God out. And no wonder our country is morally collapsing. The Bible says the nation forgets God should be turned into hell. That's what we're doing. We're forgetting God. We're leaving God out of our country. But you know, folks, I really believe that one of the major reasons why there is a moral collapse that is taking place all across this country is because of the fact that there's not much preaching on hell anymore in this country. You know, we started out the revival meeting. Those of you who started out, we preached on what hell is like on Sunday morning. I don't know if you remember that. That's a long time ago, amen? And, you know, that's a long time for us to remember something, most of us, amen? A lot of us, anyway. I preach on what hell's like. And tonight, I want to conclude the week by preaching on the who's who of hell. The who's who of hell. In other words, the people who are going to be in hell according to the Word of God. And so that's what we'll look at. When I was going to a Bible college, we have what we call the who's who of colleges and university. It was a select group of people. You know, they were good students. They were kids that had a good attitude and so forth. And they were elected to this crowd of young people called the who's who of colleges and universities. Well, you know, there's a who's who that you ought not to ever want to be a part of. You know, it's a real honor to be a part of the who's who of colleges and universities. It's a real honor. But here is a who's who that no one would want to be a part of, and that is the people who are going to be in hell tonight. I want you to see who those people are going to be that are going to be in hell. Before we think of that, I want you to realize this, that God never made hell for any person. God never made hell for any person. He didn't make it for you, my friend. If you end up in hell, it's not going to be because God sent you there. It's going to be because God, it's not because God sent you there. It's going to be because you chose to go there. See? That's the reason why anybody ends up in hell. See? There's a way that God has provided for us to miss hell. It's through His Son, the Lord Jesus. He went to that cross. He died for your sin. He died for my sin. And
the Bible says that through Him we can have our sins forgiven and we can be heaven bound and not hell bound. See, the Bible says in Matthew 25:41, "Then shall they say to them on the left hand, Depart from me, cursed, into everlasting fire, watch it prepared for the devil and his angels." See, God never prepared hell for you. He prepared it for the devil's angels. If you go to hell, you're going to be trespassing. You're going to be going where God never intended for you to go. If you go to hell, you got to knock down all the roadblocks that God has put up to keep you from going there. God has put up a lot of roadblocks. First of all, He sent His Son to the Lord Jesus Christ to die for your sin. And you got to travel over that roadblock. You got to just kick it right down and say, I don't care that Jesus died for me. I'm not going to repent of my sins or receive my Savior. You got to kick that roadblock down. And then we've had the roadblock of this revival meeting this week. You know, we've been preaching how to be saved every night. And you got to kick down preaching that you've heard. Maybe you've heard preaching other times about how to be saved. You got to just trample over that preaching. There are people here that are praying for people to be saved. Maybe you're someone that a wife's been praying for, a husband's been praying for, or a fellow, a friend has been praying for. You got to just trample over those prayers if you're going to end up in hell. See, folks, I'm going to tell you something. Listen, God didn't make hell for you. He made it for the devil and his angels. And you don't have to be there. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son that whosoever believed in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. I want you to see, though, there are three kinds of people who are going to be in this place called hell. I want you to see those three kinds of people. First of all, the Bible says here in verse number 8, the fearful will be there. Look at that verse number 8. But the fearful, the fearing will be there. Now, who's he talking about here when he talks about the fearing people? Is he talking about people who are just afraid of the dark? You know, I don't know about you, but I've been a little afraid of the dark. I don't like darkness, amen. I like light, you know. I really do. Is he talking about people who are afraid of the dark? Is he talking about people who are fearful of heights? You know, my wife doesn't like heights, you know. I mean, get up high. She just can't take that very good. She's afraid. Is he talking about people who are fearful of heights? What is the fear that he's talking about here? Who is the fearful he's talking about? Well, the Bible makes it very plain, who the fearful are here. Let's note first of all who they are not. They are not people that are fearful of heights. They're not people that are fearful of the dark. They're not people who are people who have never heard about being saved or how to be saved. Say, they're not that one. They are people who have heard about being saved. They've heard the message of salvation. Maybe someone's witnessed to them. Maybe they've been to a revival meeting like we've had. And they heard the preaching of the Word of God about how to be saved. They are not people who are not aware that the way to be saved is not through a church, it's not through baptism, it's not through a good life, but it's through coming to Jesus Christ and receiving Him as Savior. They are not people who have never heard that message. Say, you know, there are lots of people in America who have never heard the way to be saved, clearly. They've never heard that. I remember one time I was in a plane and I was flying to a certain place to preach, and there was a young lady sitting right beside me, and you know, I figured, you know, the Lord put that lady there for me to witness. You know, I've always figured when I'm alone with somebody over 30 minutes, God wants me to talk to them. It was George Whitfield who made the statement that when you're alone with somebody for 30 minutes, you know, and you know, or you're beside somebody, that you ought to figure God puts you there to give them the gospel. Say,
right.
That's been a great challenge to me. Say, and so here's this young girl sitting right beside me, and so I said, Lord, what would you? How many would you like me to? How can I talk to this young girl? And so I said, ma'am, I said, have you ever heard about Calvary? And she looked at me and she thought, maybe she thought I was talking about, the Calvary horses, Calvary in the army or something like that. She had never heard of the place called Calvary where Jesus went to the cross and died. She never heard that. I mean, she's America. Well, so I'm telling you, America is a heathen land.
Right.
I mean, there are lots of people who have never heard the message of Calvary, that Jesus Christ died and why He died. That it was for our sins and that we might be saved from hell.
Right.
You know, my pastor tells me, we have a Bible school at our church every summer, and my pastor says, it's amazing how many young people come to the Bible school who have never heard about Jesus.
Yeah.
I mean, that's happening here in this. They've never heard the way that they say. I mean, they go to churches that don't preach about, getting saved and how to be saved. And there's lots of people like that. But the fearful here in this passage of Scripture are not people who have never heard how to be saved. They've heard it. I mean, they have heard it. They've had someone witness to them. Maybe they've gone to revival meetings. Maybe they've come to church and they know that Jesus Christ died and the way to be saved is through Him and Him alone. And they know that message. But you see, something is true, and that which is true is that they let fear keep them from coming to Christ. Say, they are people who let fear keep them from coming to Jesus Christ. And it's a particular kind of fear. It's the fear of what people say. It's the fear of walking down an aisle and saying, you know what? I'm a sinner. I want to be saved and I want to accept Christ. It's the fear of man, the fear of a crowd. You know, I tell you what, I remember how shy I was many years ago, as a young person, and I'm still basically a shy person, you know. I'm not that out. You say, preacher, I don't believe that. I just don't believe you're a shy person. Well, you may not believe it, but I know it's true. You say, I know me, okay? You don't totally know me, but I was so shy. I remember my mother, when I was in the sixth grade, my mother was called in to talk to the teacher. And the teacher said, Ms. Gilmore, I don't know how Gary, is referring to me, is going to get through sixth grade, let alone high school. And my mother said, why is that? Well, he can't even stand up and give his name from the class without his knees knocking and stammering, stuttering all the place. And, I wonder what that teacher would think if she'd been here this week, amen? She said, oh, that's not the same Gary Gilmore. It's the same Gary Gilmore, all right? But you know one thing? I tell you what, the Lord Jesus Christ gave my heart and saved me, and He changes you, you know? I mean, He gives you courage to do things you never thought you could do.
Amen.
Listen, some people say, well, you know, I get saved, preacher, but I just don't think I can live the Christian life. Listen, you can't live the Christian life, but when you get saved, you get Christ in you, and if you will yield to Christ, He can help you live the Christian life.
Amen.
I'm not living the Christian life because I'm stronger than anybody else. I'm weak. But I'll tell you something. I've got a powerful, strong Savior.
Amen.
Who lives inside my life. And He can change you. See, He can take away of those old sins that you don't think you could ever give up. He can give you something better than those old sins. See?
Amen.
Jesus never takes anything away but when He puts something better in its place.
Right.
Oh, listen, I tell you what, the fear of man. I was very fearful as a young boy. I told you the other night, I remember the night I got saved. I had two brothers on either side of me. Man, I tell you what, I didn't want to go to hell and I wanted to be saved. And I knew that Jesus Christ was the only way. But I'll tell you something, I had a battle with the fear of what my brothers were going to say. You know? And I tell you what, the fear of that crowd is a huge crowd. You know? Huge crowd of people. And I tell you, I almost didn't go down that aisle because of the fear of what my brothers would say and the fear of the crowd. I'm so glad that I pulled that fear out and I threw it down and I said, listen, I'm coming to Jesus.
Amen.
And I'll tell you what, I found out when I came to Jesus that everybody in that crowd was not against me, they were for me. See?
Amen.
I mean, you come to Jesus tonight, I'll tell you what, folks, everybody here's been glad that you came. There's not going to be anybody pointing a finger and make you feel embarrassed. We're going to be so glad that you gave to Jesus. Many people are going to be in hell because of the fear of a crowd or the fear of what men may say. Here's someone that is hearing the gospel. You know, they're in a revival meeting. They're hearing the gospel. And I'll tell you what, that preacher's telling about Jesus and how He can save them from hell. And you know what? They believe that message and they don't want to go to hell. And they know that Jesus Christ is the only way to miss going to hell. They want to be saved and go to heaven. And they're just about at the invitation time to slip out, take that step, and come down the aisle and let the preacher know that they want to be saved. And, just about ready to take that step when all of a sudden they freeze up. They just freeze up. It's like someone takes some long nails and drives right through the soles of their feet right into the floor. And man, they can't move. Why? Well, you know why? Because all of a sudden the fear of what someone will think. Maybe it's some preacher. What will that preacher think? You know? Hey, I'll tell you something. If he's a Bible kind of preacher, he'll be glad you get saved. See? And if he, complains about it, you probably don't have a Bible-living preacher. You know, you need to get in the church that's got one like this one here. Amen? You see, people have the fear of what will their wife say? What will their husband say? What will their relatives say? And so many times, people will end up in hell for all eternity because of not some great sin they did or committed. It was just the fear of man, the fear of what people would say if they came and asked Jesus Christ to save their soul. You know, I remember I was in a church down in Aruba, a little island off the coast of Venezuela. Little island, the Netherlands, Antilles Islands, Aruba, Bonaire, and Curacao. And I was in this island of Aruba, and I was preaching the Word of God in that particular island. And we were having some wonderful times. And you know, I remember one night there was a lady there, and I remember preaching, and I gave the invitation at the end of the service. I said, if you'd like to know for sure you're going to heaven, would you please raise your hand and let me remember your prayer. And up went this lady's hand. I thought, praise the Lord. She wants to know for sure she's going to heaven. And so I couldn't wait to get an invitation, you know, and said, now, listen, if you raise your hand and you really want to know you're going to heaven, and not tell, would you slip out and come as we sing this invitation song? Well, we began to sing the song, but the lady didn't come. And we sang a second stanza, the lady didn't come. We sang a third stanza, and the lady didn't come. And so, you know, I closed the service and I was really heartbroken that lady. I mean, she raised her hand. She wanted to know for sure she was going to heaven. But when she had the opportunity to come to Jesus and get saved, something was keeping her back. And then I thought to myself, well, I hope she comes back the next night. And you know what? That lady came back the next night. You know, God was working on that lady. God was drawing her. You know, God was speaking to her heart and drawing her to those services. And, you know, I preached the Word of God that night, gave the invitation, said, now, if you'd like to know for sure you're going to heaven, would you please raise your hand? Let me remember in prayer. You know what? That lady was there, and she raised her hand again. I thought, boy, this lady's been here. This is the second time. She's going to come. She's going to come and accept the Lord and go home saved. And I was so excited about that. And we got to that invitation. I sang that first stanza. We sang that first stanza, and she didn't come. Sang the second stanza, she didn't come. Sang the third stanza, she didn't come. We sang another stanza, she didn't come. You know what? We closed the service. And again, my heart was broken. As that lady did not come, something was holding her back. Well, I thought to myself, I don't know if she'll be back the third night or not. My wife and I had a special time of prayer of that day in our trailer for that lady to come back, and that she would make a move and she would come to Jesus, and she'd say no to whatever it was that was holding her back. And so we came to that meeting that night. It was the last night of the meeting, and you know, she was there. She came back the third time. Three times she'd been there. And I tell you something, I preached the Word of God, got the invitation, and I said, now if you'd like to know for sure you're going to heaven, I'll tell you, would you please raise your hand? She raised her hand. I thought, boy, this is great. I mean, three nights she's raised her hand. This has got to be the night. I mean, the Lord must be really working her. She's been back here three nights. That's no accident. God is drawing her. And I thought, well, this will be the night. And we sang the first stanza. The lady didn't come. We sang the second stanza. She still didn't come. The third, the fourth, the fifth. It was the last night. I felt burdened that we should try to see if we could get that lady to come. And you know what? She did not come. We closed the service. And my heart was really broken. My wife's heart was really broken. My wife walked up to that lady afterwards in a very respectful manner and said, ma'am, listen, my husband and I have been praying for you, and you've been here every night. And you know, my husband and I have been talking. He said that you've raised your hand to be saved every single night, and yet you've not come. How come? What's keeping you from coming to Jesus and being saved? And you know, that lady said these words. She said, my boyfriend. You see, she was afraid of what her boyfriend would say. And that was the fear that was keeping her from coming to Jesus. You know what the Bible says in Matthew chapter 10, verse 28? Fear not him that can kill the body, but fear him which is able to destroy both body and soul in hell.
Oh, dear friend tonight, there are many people going to be in hell because of the fear of man. The fear of saying, what will people think? And that's going to keep them from coming to Jesus and being saved. And there are going to be many people in hell because of fear. I hope that won't be you. Thank God it's not going to be me. One day, praise God, I said no to the fear. I said no to the fear of man. I said no to the fear of the crowd. I want to go to heaven and not to hell. And I came to Jesus. I trust that will be your decision tonight. That you'll say no to the fear of man. And yes to the fear of God. Let's look at the second thing here that I want you to see. There are many people going to be in hell, not only because of the fear of man, but there's another kind of people that are going to be in hell, and that is the unbelieving. Look in your Bible to Revelation 21, verse 8. The Bible says the fearful and unbelieving. Now, there are two kinds of unbelief that will put a person in hell. Unbelief is one of the most horrible sins that could ever get in your life. You know, unbelief is a terrible sin because it puts people into hell probably more than any sin could ever put anybody to hell. Unbelief. There are two kinds of unbelief that will put a person to hell, that takes people to hell. First of all, that unbelief that says, well, preacher, I really don't believe in hell. You know, I'm intellectual. That's something that's Victorian. You know, we don't believe in hell anymore. And, you know, I'm smarter than that. I just don't believe in hell. Well, folks, I'm going to tell you, just because you don't believe in it doesn't change the fact that there is one. Say, do you know that the intellectuals and the scholars, years gone by, used to believe the world was flat? In other words, if you sailed out on the ocean, and you went too far, you'd fall right off the end. I mean, the intellectuals, the scholars, the people that were, very, very religious, believed that the world was flat. But it didn't change the fact that the world was round. Amen. In fact, if they'd been reading their Bible, they would have known the world was round. The Bible says God sits on the circle of the earth. Say, a lot of people would be a lot smarter if they read their Bible. Amen.
Amen.
You know, one of the biggest things to ever happen that'd be good in your life, start reading your Bible.
Amen.
You know, I tell you, when I talk to people, and I can't get a word in edgewise about getting saved, or, they don't want to talk, or we don't have time to talk. I said, listen, would you start reading your Bible? I mean, I tell you what, that's a good thing. If you don't have time to get the gospel to someone, just say, hey, would you start reading your Bible, starting the Gospel of John? Man, there's power in the Word of God. It's a living book.
Amen.
Just get people to read the Word of God. I don't know how many people I've met over the years said, you know what? I got saved. I just started reading my Bible. And all of a sudden, I saw myself and I saw Christ and I saw that He could save me. And I got saved. Say, people need to get in the Bible these days. But folks, just because the scholars believe that the world's flat didn't change, then it was round. You say, preacher, I only believe in what I see and I don't see hell. Have you ever seen hell? No, I've not seen it with my naked eye. Well, I only believe in what I see. You know what I say to people who say that? I say, well, have you ever seen your brains? Well, no, I haven't. Well, I guess you don't have any. You know? I mean, a lot of people are living like they don't have any brains these days. I mean, there's so little common sense out there in this whole world. Folks, listen, have you ever seen the wind? Now, you see the manifestations of the wind, but you've never seen it. Listen, you believe in a lot that you don't see. Say, listen, folks, the Word of God says hell is real. Suppose that we got out here on Interstate 95, and you know, we were driving down Interstate 95 for 27 miles, and we saw, as we're driving 27 miles down Interstate 95, a sign that said this, turn around, the bridge is out. 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 240 signs that said, in a 27-mile distance on Interstate 95, turn around, the bridge is out. Wouldn't you kind of think the bridge was out? I mean, wouldn't you think that, hey, you know what? The bridge must be out. I mean, there's 247. You know, I could understand someone say, well, I don't know if the bridge is out. If there was one sign in 27 miles that said the bridge is out, I could understand that, say. I mean, I could understand someone thinking that, say. You know? But when you've got 240 signs in the 27-mile distance saying, turn around, the bridge is out, folks, I'll tell you something. The little man with white suits ought to come and get you. You're dangerous. I sure wouldn't want me riding with you in your car.
Yeah.
Do you know that there's 260-some chapters in the New Testament, the 27 books in the New Testament? There are 260-some chapters in those 27 books.
And you know, of those 260 some chapters, there are over 240 of those chapters that say, turn or burn, repent or perish. 240 times the Bible directly or indirectly speaks about a place called hell. Folks, let me tell you something. Don't you think when the Bible says over 240 some times in 27 books that you need to turn or you're burned? Don't you think, my friend, that hell is a place you ought to believe in? Amen. Folks, I want to tell you, many people are going to be in hell because of unbelief. The unbelief that says, well, I just don't believe it. I just don't believe in it. You know what? It's easy to say that. It's easy to say that. You know, when you say that, what you're really saying is this. I hope there isn't. See, when someone says, I just don't believe in it, they're saying, I hope there isn't. They're gambling. Wonder there is. You know, even if there wasn't a hell, and I know there is, I still want to be saved. I still want to know Jesus Christ my Savior. I know there's a hell, but I tell you what, even if there wasn't a hell, I want to still be saved. Why? Because Jesus Christ gives you an abundant life right now. He gives you a lot better life than all the world, all the worldly pleasures, all the sin of the world. Jesus gives you a better life right now. But there is a hell, friends. There is a hell, and the Bible makes it very plain that there is a hell. But the second kind of unbelief that takes people to hell is not an unbelief that says, well, I just don't believe in that, preacher. I just don't believe there's a hell. We're all going to heaven, and you just burn up, and that's it. And I just don't believe that. There are people like that, and that's going to take it right to hell. You know why? Because that unbelief is going to keep them from coming to Jesus. Listen, I'm absolutely convinced no unsaved man, no unsaved woman, no unsaved poor girl really believes in what the Bible says about hell. You know why? Because if they did, they would come to Jesus quick. I mean, they wouldn't wait. I mean, folks, with the thought of dying any moment, that could happen to any one of us in this old crazy world which we live in. I mean, death is a really step from it in this old crazy world which we live in. I want to tell you something, and if you die without Jesus, you'll be in hell that very moment. I'll tell you something, you believe that, and I'll tell you something, you'll come and get saved real quick. You won't wait for anybody. I mean, the fear of man is not going to be there. I mean, you're going to come to Jesus, and you're going to not wait any longer. You're going to do it right away. If you really believe in hell, sad thing is, most people don't really believe it. That's what keeps them from coming to Jesus. Unbelief is going to take so many people to hell. But there's another kind of unbelief that takes people to hell, and that is that unbelief that says, well, you know, preacher, I believe in hell. Oh, I'm not one of those atheists. I'm not one of those Bible deniers. I believe that there's a hell. I really do. But you know something? I'm not bad enough to go there. Oh, Hitler's going to go there. Yeah, he was a pretty bad guy, Hitler. You know, and some of these terrorists that blow up buildings and you know, do all kinds of stuff. Well, they're going to go there, and I can understand them going to hell, but I'm not that bad. And they think that because they're not so bad, they're going to be in hell for all eternity. See? Or they're not going to go to the hell for all eternity because they don't think they're so bad. You know, the Bible tells us in Luke chapter 12 about two men who went up to the temple to pray. One was a proud Pharisee, and he said, you know, I thank God that I'm not as other men are. I'm not like this old publican over here. You know, I'm not unjust, and I give tithes of all that I possess, and you know, I'm not an extortioner. And he goes on, and he's just popping the buttons off his shirt, talking about how good he is, and how that he's not as bad as that old publican over there. And the Bible says that man, and that's Jesus' words, by the way, Jesus says that man went down to his house abased, which means damned to hell. I mean, this guy went to hell because he didn't think that he was bad enough to have to get saved. He didn't think he was bad enough to go to hell. But then the Bible tells about that publican. And that publican, he prays. And you know what he prays? He prays this way. Oh God, be merciful to me, a sinner. What's he saying? He's saying, God, I deserve to go to hell. Oh God, I need your mercy. Keep me from what I deserve. And you know something? The Bible tells us that man went down to his house justified. And the word justified means just as if he never sinned. That's what it means. Just as if he always obeyed the Word of God. That's how he went down to his house, just, you know, because he saw that he was a bad enough person to go to hell and that he needed a Savior. And he said, Lord, save me. Be merciful and save me. And the Bible says, Jesus said, that man went down to his house justified.
Amen.
Now, what's the difference between these two men? Where do you fit in regards to these two men? Are you going to be like the Pharisee? I'm not so bad. You know what? This old publican, he's a lot worse. You know, you could always find somebody that's a little bit worse sinner than you. See, that was his big mistake. The Pharisee, the reason why he thought he wasn't so bad, he was comparing himself with men. He was comparing himself with that publican. That publican, you know, he's a down and outer. And he was comparing, he said, I'm not that bad. I don't do those things. I'm not living the way that guy is living. And you know what? He justified himself by comparing himself with men. Listen, the biggest mistake you'll ever make in your life is to compare yourself with others.
Yeah.
Listen, I want to tell you something. So many people make that mistake of comparing themselves with others. Listen, that guy ended up in hell because he compared himself with another sinner and he said, I'm not as bad as he. And therefore, because he looked better in his own eyes than that old publican, he didn't think he needed to be saved. He never called on Jesus to save him. And Jesus said he went down to his home, damned to hell. But wait a minute. That publican, let's look at him. Will you be like him tonight? Will you be like that publican? That publican said, oh God, I deserve to go to hell. Lord, I've sinned against you. I deserve to go to hell. And you know something? Why did that man have that attitude? You know why? Because he wasn't comparing himself with people. He was comparing himself with God Almighty. He said, oh God, be merciful to me, a sinner. You see, folks, he looked at the holiness of God as he saw how holy God was. He saw how sinful he was and how he needed to be saved. And he called on Jesus Christ to save him. You know something? You know, there's not a person in this building, if you got what you deserve, that you'd go to hell. That's including me. That's including your preacher. Not a person in this building, if we got what we deserved, we'd go to hell. Folks, that'd be too good for us. Why do I say that? You say, preacher, that's kind of offensive. I mean, you're kind of offended me by saying that. Why do I say that? I'll tell you why. Two reasons. First of all, because of what we've all done in this building. You know what we've all done? We've all sinned against the Holy God. Romans 3:23 says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Little boy was asked the question one time, what's all mean? Little boy said, all means all. That's all that all means. It means all. Good definition. Amen? We've all sinned, the Bible says, and come short of the glory of God. You know, supposing I took a chain and I hung it from this side of the auditorium, all right? And let's say that, I get up there and I'm hanging that chain. And there's 10 links to that chain. And let's say that 5 of the links of that chain that's got 10 links in it breaks. What's going to happen to me? All right? Let me ask this side of the auditorium what's going to happen to me, all right? From this side over. What's going to happen to me if I'm hanging from the chain from the ceiling here and there's 10 links and 5 of those links breaks? What's going to happen? I'm going to what? Tell me.
Fall.
Pretty good. I mean, you real people are pretty intelligent. You know? I mean, that's your right. I fall. If I'm hanging from the chain, 5 links of that chain break, then I'm going to fall. All right, let's go over to this side of the auditorium now. There's another chain hanging. And let's say Pastor gets up here. And he's hanging from that chain. Now, Pastor's a little lighter than I am. He's a little skinnier, not too much. You know, he's skinnier up here, but not down here. Amen? He's kind of got one of those bowling ball looks about him, you know? And but he's lighter, basically. And he's hanging from this chain, and let's say because he's lighter than me, that only one of the links in that chain breaks. What's going to happen to him, folks, on this side? What's going to happen? He's going to
fall.
Now, you're not quite as sure as these people over here. I mean, you're just not quite as sure. You didn't really come through there like you should have. Because you thought, well, one link, you know. I mean, you know, one link or 5 links breaks. My friend, you're hanging from chain. You're going to fall. Amen? The Bible says in Romans 3:22, the verse before 23, it says there's no difference For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Now what's that mean? That means, folks, whether you have sinned 100,000 times or you've only sinned one time, there is no difference. Because the wages of sin is not sins. The wages of sin is death. Just one sin. My friend makes you a first class candidate for hell. You know another reason why we all deserve to go to hell? And that is because of the fact of who we are. We are sinners. We were born sinners. I didn't have to teach my kids to say no. Amen, Mom and Dad? Did you ever have to teach your kids to say no? I mean, that was the thing that came out of the man first of all. No, they took after the mother. Amen? No, they took after Dad. Amen? I mean, us dads, we had that sin nature passed down from our dad. And our dad got from his dad all the way back to Adam. And everybody born in the world since that time has been born with a propensity, a bend towards sinning. It's natural for us to sin because we got a nature that wants to sin. Say, we are born sinners. You don't become a sinner by sinning. You sin because you're a sinner. That's why you sin. You know, I'm not surprised at what people do out there in this whole world. They're sinners. And you give them the atmosphere that we've got today in our world. Yeah. I mean, you give them that kind of atmosphere. I mean, you give them no reading of the Bible in the schools, no prayer in the schools. Yeah. I mean, you take away the Word of God from a society, a community. And you know what? The natural result is that there's going to be a ton of sinning going on out there in that world. And that's what's happening. We're born sinners. That's why we sin. And you know, the reason why we all deserve to go to hell is because we have a sin nature. But the wonderful news in the Bible is, if we come to Jesus, He can save us from what we deserve. He can save us from hell and give us heaven for all eternity. Years ago, the story is told of a man who was the king of Spain. And he had a prince who was visiting him from England. And this king of Spain wanted to, be a great impression upon the prince of England. And he wanted to do something really noble. And so he told this prince of England, he said, listen, I want to have you go and look at one of the ships that we have in the Spanish Armada. I want you to go down and see the prisoners that are chained to the oars for their crimes that they committed. See, they didn't have prisons back in those days. They would just chain the prisoners to the oars, and the oars would take those ships through the water along with their sails. And so this Prince of England goes down into one of the galleys of ship in the Spanish Armada. The King of Spain's with them, and he says, listen, all these men are chained to the oars for the rest of their life because of the crimes they committed. But in honor of your visit, Prince, we're going to let you set one of those men free. Whoever you want to. You can set him free and go back to his home, go back to his family. He's set free in honor of your visit. And the Prince said, well, that's very noble, you king. And so he went to the first man, chained to the oar for the rest of his life. He walked up and said, sir, I'm sorry to see you chained to this oar the rest of your life. How come you're here? And the man said with bitterness, you know, I don't deserve to be here. He said, you know, there are a lot of people that did a lot worse crimes than I did. And you know what? They're stuck free. I just don't deserve to be here. The Prince of England said, all right, thank you, sir. He went to the next guy, chained to the oar the rest of his life. He walked up and asked the same question. Sir, I'm sorry to see you here. How come you're here, chained to this oar the rest of your life? He said with bitterness, listen, my crime wasn't that bad. And you know, I didn't have a just trial. And I don't deserve to be here. And the prince looked at that man and said, thank you very much, sir. Went to the next man. Same kind of response. Went to the next man. Same kind of response. Went to the next man. Same kind of response. Got way to the end of that ship, and there's one last guy. He comes up to him, thinking he's going to get the same response of all the others. He comes up and says, sir, I'm sorry to see you chained to the oar the rest of your life. How come you're here? And the man got a smile on his face. And he said, oh, Prince, I'm just glad I'm alive. I deserve this punishment. My crime was awful. I deserve worse than this. I should have been put to death. I'm just glad I'm alive. His attitude was so different than all the rest of that man that the Prince of England turned to that guy and said, you know what? It's a shame that such a guilty man as you should be amongst all these innocent people. You go free. My friend, you know that's exactly how God operates? You show me sinners, I'm not so bad. I don't need to be saved. I can live a good life and I can do these things and that. And you know, I'll take care of my sin. I'm not so bad. You know what? That's, my friend, the sinner that God is never going to save from what they deserve. They're going to get what they deserve, eternal fires in hell. But then, if you have someone who will be like that one guy in that ship, who will say, oh, I deserve to go to hell. I've broken God's laws. I deserve a punishment for eternity because God's an eternal God. And He has to have an eternal punishment to come upon those who've broken His laws. You know, and I believe that I deserve to go to hell. When you get sort of like that, and then that person will say, Lord, have mercy on me. My friend, that person can be saved from what they deserve. Hell, fire for all eternity. There are going to be many people in hell. Why are they going to be there? Not because God wanted them there. It's going to be because they trespassed over God's roadblocks that He put in front of them to keep them out of hell. Calvary. Revival meetings like this. Prayers of godly people. They just trampled all over it, say. They're going to be there because they let the fear of man keep them from coming to Jesus. They're going to be there because of unbelief. They didn't believe what the Bible said, that there was hell that they would be in for all eternity the moment they die. They never really believed that they were bad enough to go to hell, and so they never called on Jesus to save them. There are going to be many people in hell because of fear. Many people in hell because of unbelief. But there's one more crowd of people are going to be in hell, and that is the sinning people. Sinning people are going to be there. Look at your Bible to Revelation 21 and verse 8. The Bible says, but the fearful, the unbelieving. And then it goes on to list another crowd of people. And this crowd of people I call the sinning people. The Bible says the abominable. Who's that? That's the whoremonger. That's the prostitutes. That's the perverts. The whoremongers will be there. The sorcerers. That's all the drug users and drug pushers. And idolaters. That's people who love money so much that they'll print pornography and defile the minds and souls of young men and boys with their terrible pictures of lustful pictures, and that crowd of people that's going to be there. Greedy people who will do anything to get money, even if it means the perversion of people and the trampling, destroying of homes and families and marriages. That crowd of people is going to be there. And the Bible says, lastly, and all liars. You know, there may be somebody say, well, Brother Gary, I'm not going to be a part of that sitting ground because I'm not a whoremonger and I'm not a sorcerer and I'm not an idolater and I'm not a murderer. But you know something? There's not a one of us that can wiggle off the hook of being a sinning person, because the Bible says, and all liars. It says all liars, amen? You know, someone says, well, okay, preacher, I've lied, but I've lied many times. God says, all liars. My friend, whether you've lied one time or lied a million times, you fit in the category of all liars.
Right.
Isn't it something? God doesn't like this sin of lying. He puts it with the sin of murder. He puts the sin with adultery and a whoremongering. He puts it with the sin of sorcery and idolatry. You know, lying is a terrible sin in God's eyes.
Amen.
And we've all fit in this category of being sinning people. We have sinned. People are going to be in hell because of sinning. And we've all done it. Say, we've all done it. Now, notice with me, if you will, folks, that there are going to be some people there in hell because of sinning. But I want you to notice this. It wasn't because they couldn't have those sins forgiven. See, they could have had all those sins forgiven. The sin of adultery. The sin of murder. The sin of sorcery and idolatry. And the sin of lying. They could have had it forgiven if they were to come to Jesus. The Bible says the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, can cleanse us from all sin. The reason why these people are in hell because of their sinning is because they didn't come to the Savior. Listen, there's not an adulterer that if they come to Jesus, that sin of adultery be washed away.
Yeah.
There's not a murderer who has taken somebody's life, but if they come to Jesus, the sin of murder will be washed away.
Amen.
There's not a person who's ever lied once, but if they come to Jesus, the sin of lying will be removed. Yeah. Listen, these people are not there because they couldn't have their sin forgiven. They could have had it forgiven if they just were to come to Jesus.
Listen to what the Bible says in the book of 1 Corinthians. I mean, the Bible tells us how terrible the people in Corinth were. They were given over to all kinds of sinning. And notice the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 9, describing these people of Corinth and their sinful lifestyle. It says, verse 9, "Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers themselves of mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God." These people aren't going to inherit the kingdom of God. But wait a minute, it doesn't stop there. Look at verse 11. "And such were some of you." I mean, one time these people at Corinth he's talking about here were adulterers and thieves and covetous and drunkards and adulterers and fornicators. And yet now they're not that. They were that. They were that before God, but they're no longer that before God. Why? Did they join some church? Did they get baptized? Did they speak in tongues? Why is it that these people, they once were these things before God, but now they're no longer that before God? Why? Look at verse number 11. "And such were some of you, but ye are washed, ye are sanctified, set apart, with eternal life." I mean, they got eternal life now. "But ye are justified, just as if ye never sinned." How? "In the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God." You see, these people came to Jesus. They came to Jesus and received Him as Savior, and the blood of Jesus Christ washed away all their sin, and they no longer are covetous before God. They are no longer adulterers before God. It's something that was true in the past, but it's no longer true because they came to Jesus and they repented their sin and they received the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. Listen, my friend, I don't know what your sins are tonight. All of us are sinning people. All of us are. I don't know what your sins are, but I'll tell you one thing. If you'll come to Jesus tonight, all those sins will be washed away by the mighty blood of Jesus Christ. That's how powerful the blood of Jesus Christ is. It can cleanse you of all your sin. Lastly, I want you to see the second thing, the last thing about these sinning people. I want you to see who will be with them. Who will be with this sinning crowd? The Bible says, verse 8, "The fearful, the unbelieving, and then the sinning." Who's sitting with these sinning people? Fearful people. Who are the fearful people? They wanted to go to heaven. They didn't want to go to hell. They heard the message. But you know what? They let the fear of people keep them from coming to Jesus. They're going to be with the sinning people in hell, the Bible says. Who are the people who are going to be with these sinning people now? Not only the fearful, but the unbelieving. These are people who just didn't believe that there was a hell, and therefore they didn't come to Jesus. These are people who thought they were too good to go to hell. Only bad people go there, and they thought they were too good. They were moralist people. But they didn't need Jesus, and therefore they're going to be with these sinning people in hell. That's who they're going to be with. These people who are fearful and unbelieving are going to be with the sinning for all eternity. You know, I was in Maryland a number of years ago preaching the Word of God. I came to a church and I set up my trailer like I normally do, and the pastor's there. We talked a little bit, the pastor and I, about the meeting. He said, "Brother Gilmore, there's a lady we've been praying for. We've been praying for quite a while that she gets saved. She comes to all the services. She's a kind lady, a nice lady, but she doesn't see her need of being saved. And she just hasn't come to Jesus. And we're praying for her to get saved this week. And I want you to know that. And, you know, here's her name, and I want you to pray for her. And I want you to know that if she gets saved this week, there's going to be some tears of joy. I mean, our people have just been praying for her. She comes to all the services. Pastor said she's more faithful than some of the people who are saved. And she comes to all the services. But she's never received the Lord as her Savior. She's never come to be saved." And I said, "Well, I'll be praying for her." And sure enough, there she was Sunday morning in Sunday school. There she was Sunday morning in the Sunday morning service. There she was Sunday night in the Sunday night service. Monday night, she was the Monday night service. She was very well dressed. She was a nice lady. She was a very moral lady, I'm sure. But you know, she had never come to Jesus and been saved. She had never seen that she was a sinner. She had never compared herself with a holy God and seen how much she needed to be saved because she was a sinner before a holy God. She had never seen that. And you know, that particular night on Tuesday night, I preached on the who's who of hell.
I preach about the people that are going to be in hell. The whoremongers, the adulterers, the idolaters. And you know, that particular night, as I preach that message, I happen to see that lady sitting up and listening on every word that I uttered that night like never before. She was thinking about the crowd she would be with for all eternity. Unless she got saved. That's not the crowd she hung around with in life. I mean, she didn't hang around the drug users and the drug pushers. She didn't hang around the greedy people. They're just out to make money no matter how it perverts anybody else's life. She wasn't hanging around these kind of people, the whoremongers. That wasn't her crowd. And as she began to realize the crowd of people she was going to be with, all of a sudden, she saw that she better get saved. Or this will be the crowd she'll be with forever. You know, I gave the invitation that night, and Pastor, that lady immediately slipped down that aisle. And she went back in the back room, and someone took the Bible and showed her right from the Bible how she'd be saved. And that night, that lady received Jesus Christ as her personal Savior. And thank God, she's never going to be a part of the who's who of hell. And my friend, that's what you must do. If you don't want to be a part of the who's who of hell, you must come to Jesus Christ like that lady did and put your faith and trust in Him and receive your Savior. And if you'll do that, you can go out of here saying, praise God, I'll never be a part of this infamous who's who of hell. I will be a part of those who are going to be in heaven for all eternity. Will you do it tonight? Will you come to Jesus? Or will you let the fear of man keep you from getting saved? Or you let unbelief keep you from coming to Jesus? Or will you let the sins that you've committed damn your soul to an eternal hell? Oh, may you come to Jesus and be saved and go home knowing from the Bible you're going to heaven and not to hell. Let's pray. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Father, we just thank you so much for your word. And I pray that tonight, Lord, that you will help us tonight to see the crowd that's going to be in hell. Lord, I pray that people realize they don't have to go out and commit a whole lot of sins to go to hell. Just let fear of man keep them from coming to Jesus and being saved. Lord, I pray that people realize that unbelief will keep them from being in heaven for all eternity and take their soul to an eternal hell. Lord, I pray that tonight they'll say no to unbelief, and yes, to come into Jesus and being saved. Lord, I pray that people realize that their sins will take them to an eternal hell, but they don't have to, because Jesus shed His blood, and we can be saved from our sins and help them to say no to the sins they have been living in and repent of those sins and come and receive Jesus Christ and go out of here cleansed of every sin they've ever committed or ever will commit and never have those sins damn their soul to hell. Lord, I pray you'll do it. And Father, I thank you for what you do.